Hi, and welcome to another one of our podcasts. Today I want to kind of look at John chapter 15, verse 7. And there we read, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you." These are very important words that kind of highlight for us how prayer is one of the biggest marked and an important means of a fruitful union with our Lord Jesus Christ. And it means more of a what can be considered an unspeakable importance, because it really transforms the abiding in Christ and our relationship with Christ as Christians as something that goes beyond just a mere religion, because we're speaking to Him. And this here is kind of the basis for my additional podcast that I'm putting together for our patron program, which if any of you are that, I do want to thank you for that. If you're not, hopefully you'll consider that and go to the link in the comment section below and at least support us with an additional $5 monthly amount so that we can get those podcasts to you and be able to do other things like get better mics and stuff like that. But it is one of the things that really gets into what it really means to be a Christian and how it really benefits. It's about prayer. And prayer is kind of the big thing, if you really think about it. Because if you really know how to speak to God and you're able to know confidently that your prayer is being heard, answers are happening, and things are changing in the world because of you, it really changes how you see your situation as a believer. And it also transforms really what you expect of a true religion, that religion truly is an experience with a higher power, a deity, and does have benefits in the world. I mean, that's the reason why ancient societies used to sacrifice to various gods for various things, like gods of fertility or gods of harvest and so on and so forth, was because they wanted to have some kind of cause and effect, if you will, from the whole thing. And it became more of a relationship with that deity than it was a real outstanding religion. And it's kind of the sad thing in our modern terms that we see religion more externally and not internally. It's something that we go to and participate with. And then you get a lot of people that, because it is external in a lot of ways and it's never been personalized in any real sense, or really become a relationship between you and God, that people go to church, go to mass, go to Sunday services, wherever they go, and they don't get anything. I mean, one of the biggest reasons why people leave churches, especially in Protestant world and stuff, is that they make the claim, "I wasn't being fed there, I wasn't receiving anything." And it becomes this whole little, you know, exchange where people are just missing where it's supposed to actually come back to them. So that's kind of one of the big things there. But if we really get into what Christ is speaking here and really understand what it means to be united with Christ, we get into this whole idea that the things of faith and everything that we're able to do can become a conversation that we have with God. Everything that we need finds utterance in prayer in some form or fashion, where it's pleading for things we desire, whether it's just the need to be able to fully unite and surrender to God's will, or whether it's shortcomings of sin or anything along those lines. Anything that really draws you deeper into a relationship with God, it's hinged on prayer. In fact, if you really think of your Sunday worship, regardless of whether you go to a Catholic church or a Protestant denomination, non-denomination, or whatever it is you want to call it, if you just go there and it's an external service, you'll never get anything out. Or if you do, it's going to only tickle you on the outside or tickle you emotionally, tickle you in a way that really doesn't transform your life. It may motivate you to a deeper commitment for a short period of time, but it's like filling a cup. Once you've drank the cup's empty, and you got to go back for another fill. And that's where a lot of people miss the real depths of true Christianity, in that it's supposed to be more of a relationship. That's why you're called to abide with Christ. We abide with Christ kind of like a husband and wife abide together. They're roommates locked together for life, as one guy once described. And sometimes you want to kill your roommate, and other times you're just glad that they're there. And I think in most marriages, the wife is just kind of, you know, locked there for life, and the husband is just glad that they're there in most cases. Well, not always, but you know what I'm saying. It's something along those kind of funny little thoughts to have. But you see, as we continue to get into this understanding of what it is to be abiding with Christ, we begin to see how truly blessed life can be if we really understand what it is that we're doing. We're getting into a relationship to God to where we can talk to Him, to where we can fellowship with Him. And this is kind of the key to any successful prayer life. And it's kind of what we talk about in the patron series, where you're learning how to pray and develop your relationship with God. It allows you to be able to look up to God as your Father, be able to pour your heart out into His, and be able to ask from Him, fully understanding that whatever it is you're asking for, you can receive because He loves you and He's going to give it to you in the best way possible. It may not be in the way you perceive it to be best or possible, but He's going to give you the answer in the way that it truly is best and possible. A lot of people miss that when they're in prayer. And the other thing is just merely you'll be able to really understand what it is that He's presenting to you in just the entirety of Christianity, not just scripturally, but also in your daily experience about what it is to be a Christian in 2018 and live out the Christian faith that way. Because when you really get into this and you really get strong with this knowledge of how you're linked up to God in a very unique way, your prayer does get heard, and then you really start to see it as a means of really bringing heaven on earth in a more real way. But it's more than just the means. It's supposed to be the very fruit of abiding in Christ. It's supposed to be that real, this is what it's all about. It's kind of what Paul was trying to say when he said you should always pray. Pray without ceasing, it says in some translations, when it talks, I believe, from the 5th chapter of 2 Thessalonians. I'll have to look that up. I don't have it in front of me. I apologize. But it's really what it's talking about, where you really start abiding like a branch on the vine. You really see yourself as dependent upon God in a way that you can basically talk with Him, say, this is what I need, this is how I need it, and it begins to work its way into your life and into the lives of those that you know, because you're going to find that as you begin to develop your prayer relationship with God and you see how God deals with you, you also start realizing how you're supposed to relate and deal with others. Because as you really understand how God loves you and takes care of you, you start seeing how you can love and take care of others and be a reflection of that image and likeness of God into the world. And it really transforms a lot of things, because we truly become a channels of influence by which the world can be changed and transformed. We become fellow workers with God. We can bring the blessings of Christ's redemption to all those around us in our world and really see them being transformed to the glory of God. In a way where the kingdom truly takes root in the world. It's more than just the conquering that nations do, like when Israel conquered conquered Canaan, the promised land, when Greece spread out, Rome spread out, and all those other nations spread out over the years, or even in our country, how the United States spread out while going from east to west in Hawaii and Alaska and all that. And some of it was by, you know, taking it from those who were actually living here at the time, the American Indians, the Native Americans, however you want to define them, and spread out that way. Because he really wants us to conquer through effective and really intense prayer. Because he tells you that when you truly get into what prayer is, and if you really pray as a righteous person, a righteous individual, your prayers will avail much. Kind of like the example is given in James chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, when James tells us, hey, look at Elijah. He was the one who prayed for an ungodly Israel that it stopped raining, and it stopped raining for almost 4 years. I think it was 3.5. And during that time, not one drop came down, so there was a drought. And then he prayed again, and it started raining like normal again. So that just shows you the true effectiveness of God's prayers. And it's understanding that prayer is this effective means of being able to bring blessing and stuff like that into the lives of others and ourselves, that we really get into the idea of how prayer is that fellowship, that means of abiding, that means of bringing forth much fruit, that great fruit, that abundant fruit that others need to be benefit from. And it really shows you that how, if you're a Christian that is not being a branch on the vine, that is not entirely abiding in Jesus Christ, you experience a great many difficulties in prayer that truly rob you of the comfort and strength that prayer really should give, because you don't understand how it hooks up, how it hooks you to God, how you hook up to God through it. And that's part of the reason why I've added the additional series that costs $5 a month, just $5 a month to help us be able to do more with these podcasts. And it's available, once again, in the little bitty box below. If you look in the comment section, it'll be patron.podbean.com/dtesh, and you'll be able to get access to, right now there's 8 additional broadcasts. I'm going to try, hopefully before the end of this month, to get a couple more done up and put together. A lot of it's just kind of dependent upon how my work schedule goes over the next couple days and exactly how fat I get on Thanksgiving this Thursday, which is right now looking to be the only day I'll have off between now and the end of the month. Oh, Lord, help me. That's all I got to say to that. But anyhow, moving forward, an example of prayer right there, just in case you didn't notice. When we really start understanding how prayer hooks us up into a relationship situation with God, we miss how prayer is truly being humble. A lot of people go forward with prayer and they use certain words and certain phraseologies and certain things in kind of this, what can only be described as a false humility. It's not the humility of our Blessed Virgin Mary, who, when she was in the Annunciation experience with the angel Gabriel, she basically, in full humility and full faith to God, said, "Be it unto me according to your word," where she was really piping into what God was wanting for her. She wasn't trying to be self-willed. And it's, as Jesus says, "Not my will, but your will be done." And a lot of people, they'll say certain things in prayer or about prayer that makes it sound like they're being humble, but in reality, they're just being more unbelieving about the answer to the prayer and kind of trying to use prayer as a means to an end. Or as they do in the Word of Faith movement, they'll lay claim to something, they'll hold on to it almost stubbornly and not let it go, because in their mind's eye, if they let it go, that's the reason why it doesn't materialize. So they're trying to create realities, if it was, and instead of really truly getting into what God has for you and your plans for life. Because a lot of us go through life and we want things that maybe aren't meant for us. I used last week the example of a friend of mine who was trying to get a certain college degree, and because of failing in a certain course, a certain goal of becoming a certain type of occupation kind of moved away from that person. And it's kind of a reminder that if we truly are wanting what God wants in our lives, we don't get upset by things like that. We don't act like the kid that wants to date the hottest chick in class and take her to the school prom, and then when she says no, we don't get depressed or upset, because the reality is maybe she's not the one for us, and maybe it's somebody that would really annoy us. I mean, God, if I could tell you some of the people in high school that at times I was interested in, and then how they turned out later, and in retrospect, I know, oh, God didn't answer a prayer for a good reason, or at least those kind of prayers, then it really got into this, you know, whole little, okay, it's about me giving my will up to Him and truly being humble in that sense, not being humble in the sense of going around saying, well, sometimes God says yes, sometimes He says no, sometimes He says, hold it, Junior, or whatever you want to add in there. But you hear all these things, and they think they're being humble, but in reality, they're not being humble. They're just not understanding how prayer is a relationship.
Jesus said when he was talking to his disciples about prayer one time that, if a son comes up to his father and he asks for bread, he's not going to be given a stone. And if that same child comes and asks for something to eat, like a fish, he wouldn't be given a snake. Because God gives what you're asking for. He may not give it in the way that you think it should be given to you, which is the other side of the coin. But he does give it to you. A lot of people are looking for things that they really shouldn't get. In fact, the only criteria for why you do not get answers to prayer are listed in James, I believe it's chapter 2. It's either 2 or 4. I can't remember right now. Don't quote, but 4. Where he says, you ask, but you ask amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. And when he said that, gave you two reasons. You asked amiss. You asked basically incorrectly. You're asking with something wrong in how you're asking it. Or you're asking it with the wrong motive, because the psalmist even tells you that if you have sin in your heart, God won't hear you. Because if you have a sinful motive, if you're basically wanting to go out with some hot cheerleading chick and take her to prom, then it has to be asked, well, why do you want to do that? Well, everybody knows what kids do after prom. Oh, really? So you basically have the wrong motive should be the answer into that question, and point out that that's the reason why it doesn't get answered, is because you're asking amiss. You're asking incorrectly, number one, and you're asking for the wrong motive, number two. They kind of combine together in a lot of ways, but if you really break it down and really understand it, that's the reality. I mean, think about it. If you as a parent had a child come up and asked if they could borrow the car, and they had a good reason, like they needed to get to school or they needed to go to work and they had a driver's license and everything that was good that way, knew how to drive, couldn't leave it there, there would be no reason not to. But if they're asked and if they could borrow the car on a Friday or Saturday night to go over to so-and-so's house where they're going to be partying it up and stuff, you're going to be concerned that they're going to be driving drunk, getting into an accident, and you'll say no. I mean, that's just 101 parenting right there, basic thoughts right there. I mean, I think we're pretty much understanding that there are reasons why God won't answer a prayer, and a lot of times it's because it's not asked in the sense of truly being in fellowship with God, truly being humble, truly wanting His will to be done, not yours, and truly wanting His work to be fulfilled in your life. Because if you are really seeking, let's say, a healing situation, I'm going to use this as an example. I've heard many people in the Word of Faith thing say, oh, well, by His stripes you're healed, just name, claim, blah, big grab. And in a sense, yeah, you can do that. You can kind of say, yes, Lord, I need this healing. I don't want to have, let's say, diabetes. That's something I struggle with. And I really want to be healed from that. Okay, now here comes the tricky part to this question. Why? Do you want it so that you can do something wholesome? A lot of times we think that that's what it is. Or is it just simply because you don't want to be pestered with, in my case, the daily pricking of the needle? Ooh, the exciting stuff there. I mean, come on. Who doesn't love taking a needle and poking themselves to see blood and then, ooh, making sure that your blood sugar is at a certain level. I won't tell you what mine was last checked at because it wasn't in the good range, because I'm still kind of doing some bad things from time to time. But that is my business and my doctor's business and ours alone. And also everybody that knows me personally that will wag a finger in my face the next time they see me, because they will probably know as a result of this podcast. But that's another story. We'll leave that one alone and don't tell anybody, especially my mom. But anyhow, moving on. Knowing all this kind of stuff and really not understanding how it goes, because a lot of people, under this guise of unworthiness, they'll act unworthy to expect any real influence. They'll talk about how in God's perfect wisdom and love, you can't really know if the answers are going to be answered in a specific way, because, sometimes God says yes, sometimes God says no, sometimes maybe, maybe not, maybe hold your breath, maybe, who cares? Because when they pray, they do so more because they're going through a function. It's an external thing. Then they really are having a true loving faith in God who hears their prayer. But you see, here's the thing. If you truly get into abiding in Christ, you get released from this. You really understand that God hears you. He's really going to try to answer you. He may not give you the answer you want, because that's where any relationship is. Sometimes you have to say no to a child. No, child, you cannot cross the street, because at the other side of the street, there's bad stuff. We don't want you going there. And you don't let a child at 5 years old do something you might let a child do at 16. It's not because you're not loving the child and you're not wanting to give the child the candy or whatever it is that they want, but it's because you know that it's better for them not to only eat M&M's 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, because every now and then you got to eat a bite of chicken or, God forbid, broccoli. Whew. Moving on. All right, we'll leave it there. Because, you know, this is what it is. When you really get into this relationship thing, you really get this unity with God in a sense that you understand he's going to hear you. He's going to talk to you about it. Sometimes you're going to be like Paul, where you're going to be praying that a thorn gets removed from your life, some real sticky thing that really gets under your skin, and God goes, well, hold on. My grace is great enough that it'll supply your need even beyond and through this situation. So when we really get into this, we really get to understand the deeper levels, and we truly can pray through what God wants in our lives. Because with abiding in Christ, it keeps down this self-will, these thoughts and wishes that come from our nature that just want to exploit the things of God for really bad purposes. And it really gets to a point to where you really are surrendered to the will of God. You really get this true, fervent, fiery desire for prayer. This real excitement for it, where you really are searching for God with your whole heart and not holding back. You're not trying to hide a sin or justify a sin when you get in the presence of God. You're just basically saying, you know what? I used that cuss word that other day, and I just need to stop cussing. And I need your grace. And the Lord goes, yeah, I'll make sure. I'm there. I'm down with that. That's good. Here's my grace. Let's keep going. Let's make this a victory instead of a defeat. Because His Holy Spirit will breathe into you and through your entire being. And you'll become conscious of things that is only possible through truly abiding in Christ and being renewed with His grace, where your will gets sanctified to the point that you can ask whatever it is and it'll be given to you, because you're really hooked up with God in a way that you truly are representing Him. You truly are truly seeking His will, His kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Not, I need this new car today or I'm not going to talk to you for a couple days. I mean, it's not that kind of hooking up with God. It's really getting into a relationship where you really are talking to Him. I mean, think of somebody that you are in a relationship with. If that person came to you and was telling you things about what you should do to them or for them, blah, 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 and never once took time to really talk to you and get to understand you and really be with you as a person ought to be with another person, would that satisfy you? Or would you be really empty inside and thinking, who is this guy? Who is this woman? Who is this person that just constantly assumes something of me instead of really trying to do something that would make me really love and care about them back? And that's kind of how we got to look at prayer, because once we really get prayer as a relationship, it shows us a connection with abiding in Christ and truly being a person that loves God and really experiences God in its fullness. Because God wants us to be glorifying people for Him. And when we truly want to glorify Him instead of magnify who we are, our status, our what we're doing in life, that's when we move forward. That's when we get to these greater things, these deeper things of God. And in fact, that's why in John 17, when he's praying his intercessory prayer, we see the one desire and plea throughout, and is his intercession in heaven. And the great object that he has is that everything is done to the glory of God the Father. It shows the kind of love that he has, the kind of care and concern that he has. Because when you really love somebody, you want them to succeed. You really want them to be amazed and
have people talk about them in a good light, because that's what really love really does. It doesn't seek its own. It seeks everything else for everyone else. That's kind of my own paraphrase of part of 1 Corinthians 13, because if you really look at what love is not self-centered. Love is patient, it's kind, it believes all things, it hopes all things, it moves mountains and all these other things so that other person can experience what love really is. And it's why in love, Christ died on a cross for you. That's the love God has for you. And that's the love you should have for others. And this is where you really get into that, is in the prayer, that everything should be for the glory of God. In fact, as you really understand how to make that your own keynote, your prayers become more effective. Jesus prayed many times, like in John 12, 28, Father, glorify your name. When he was trying to get Lazarus to wake up out of the grave, he said, glorify your name, God. Do you want God glorified or do you want you glorified? I remember a man one time talking to me about how he should just go down to the local cemetery. I forget where it was now, but he was going to go down to the local cemetery and pray and pray and pray, because he believed the things that he was hearing on TV from these Word of Faith teachers, that if you only believe, you can move mountains. And he says, you know what? I'm going to go down here and I'm going to raise the dead. And I asked him one question. Why? Is it so that God gets glory, or so that people start noticing you? Oh, he was upset with that. He went down there, he prayed for a couple hours, came back to me, and says, you know what? You're a real this, that, and the other. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I already knew that. You know, you should live with me 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year, every year that I've ever been alive. You have no idea how much of a this, that, and the other I can really be. And thank God, glory to God, that, you know, he's really knocking some of that stuff out of me. But that's another story. And I just basically said, why? And he goes, well, when you ask me that, every so often, I just kept thinking, why am I down here? Is it for me or for God? And then he really got really snotty about it. And I go, oh, so basically you're upset because you realized you were down there for yourself and not for God's glory? You were down there trying to pray in the name of Jesus without actually representing Jesus like a true person in the name of Jesus would do? I mean, think about it. If you're truly a Christian, don't you represent Christ? Aren't you supposed to be like Christ? How is being like Christ pushing your will, your agenda, your kingdom come, your will be done in heaven as on earth? How is that glorifying God? The one to whom the glory and the power and the kingdom is. I mean, think about that. Let's get out of ourselves for a minute. Let's really get into abiding with Christ so we can be fully aware of how it is that we can avail ourselves of being Christians, being Christ-like, being people who can pray in a name. Because if you are asking in the name of another, it means that you were authorized to ask those things on the behalf of the other person. And it has to be something that the other person would ask for you. Ooh, hey, does this kind of tell you that you're probably praying amiss? Because you're not praying for your healing, for your $1 million, for your Rolls Royce, for your brand new car, for your whatever, because it's not something Jesus would be praying for you, because he sees a greater need in you. Oh, that's how you're asking amiss, maybe. That's why your prayers aren't being asked, or because you asked, but you asked amiss, that you may consume it upon your lust. Oh, time to really think about how prayer is really supposed to be. But you see, if you're a believer and you truly are praying in the name of Jesus and upon his merits, do you really pray so that you get heard for yourself? Or do you pray to truly have his name be heard in your life? Let's think about it from that perspective. This is how life can really change. Because if you're not entirely living to glorify God in how you live your life, because you're still trying to go to the bar on Fridays and Saturdays or have relationship with people that you shouldn't be having because you're just a dog and you gotta go hunt. I say that for somebody that made that comment to me at work the other day, and I'm just kind of like, yep, you don't get it. And all that kind of stuff, you really don't understand what you're really praying, because when you pray, let's use the Our Father. Hallowed be thy name. Your will be done. Your kingdom come.
Those three things come before you even ask for your daily bread, your daily needs. You ask before you gain forgiveness, that you really forgive others, because that's how he has forgiven you. That's the love that he's shown you. Oh, now the world starts coming into view. Because if we truly prayed, consecrated to Jesus, abiding in him, truly being a branch on the vine, we would understand that the promise that whatsoever you asked in his name is something that truly relates to how you live. Because Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever you do, do it all in the name of Jesus. Do it as a representative of Jesus. That whole slogan about what would Jesus do should remind you about how you live as a Christian. What would Jesus do? Would Jesus want that brand new car? Would Jesus want to go to the prom with whoever this real hot chick is that you had your focus on? Would Jesus really want that? Would Jesus really want to be focused about what happens after high school proms? Or would Jesus be more focused on what you do at prom and how you respect that person? Do you really care about that person like he cares about you? Oh, those are the bigger, deeper issues. Do you need $1 million? Do you need to win the Powerball or the Mega Millions because the money's nice? Or do you really want to be a true Christian, a true Christ-like person who is sacrificial in everything and doesn't need to buy the ticket because you would rather somebody else win? Ooh, question marks. We need to think about these things. Or how about one more? If I'm truly praying and trying to have the things that Jesus would want, how would I want things selfishly when everything Jesus did was for somebody else? He went to a cross. He died for you and me. That wasn't something he had to do. He didn't have to experience that for himself. He didn't do anything wrong. There was no sin or iniquity found in him, because he was basically the sinless one. He didn't have to die. He didn't have to come down. But he loved you, because God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, the gospel in a nutshell. Do you give yourself completely to be who Christ wants you to be at all times of your life? Do you live to do all things in the name of Jesus Christ as a representative? Do you go to work and work there as a representative of the Lord Jesus Christ whom you serve, knowing how Jesus would move pallets on and off a truck, or pick cartons that would go on pallets, or mop floors, or do whatever it is that you do? Do you do that as a representative of Christ, or are you talking all the time about nonsense, stealing money from the clock, and truly being unproductive at work, and just basically getting paid for free, doing nothing? I mean, that's kind of the things that we have to ask ourselves. Are we truly in the image and likeness of God? That's the whole point of our creation. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. And then he made man in his image, male and female. It's not a gender issue. It's a question of whether or not you truly have the image of God. Because the image of God is something of your character. God wants spiritual worshipers, not just people who are good once a week. He wants you good all the time, everywhere, because your spirit is your character. Because that's how you worship God, who is a spirit, who is holy, who is Lord. And this is what really, really needs. Because God wants to see if we're truly living in him. Because if we do, then our prayers will really have the power to prevail. Because abiding in Christ not only renews our will to pray correctly, but also secures the full power of his merits on behalf of the answer to prayer. Some of the greatest prayer warriors were saints who really gave their lives to other people. Mother Teresa of Calcutta is one of the greatest saints in our lifetime, where her prayers went out and really touched the lives of those in her community. See, abiding in Christ is something that works faith in us, that allows us to obtain the answer, where we really can hear the words of Christ, according to your faith, be it unto you, or really understand the real law of the kingdom that says, if you believe that you receive, that you will have. That's kind of a paraphrase of Mark 11:24, because If you really understand these words, you understand that faith rests upon and is rooted in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It is something that is infinitely higher than just a mere logical conclusion. It's not, oh yes, God has promised and I will obtain, which is the whole heart and soul falsehood that you hear from men like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Creflo Dollar, and all the like that preach a word of faith thing, because they're trying to have a logical conclusion rather than faith as a spiritual act of abiding and fellowshipping with God. And that's why, you know, if I can really get this prayer series out here to you and get all 60 of the lessons that I'm hoping to get put together in a short period of time for you, you'll really benefit from having the $5 a month support of this ministry that we're asking for, because you'll really get into the idea of how fasting and prayer connect, how humility and having the right mind allows you to really get into the deeper levels of how to have answers to prayer, and also how with a wholehearted obedience to God that you truly are living your faith. Because if you don't abide in Christ and you really grow into this union with Him, this fellowship with Him, this relationship with Him, you'll never understand how to make your petition truly acceptable to Him and truly claim an answer in a way that glorifies Him, in a way that truly makes the answer more about Him than about you, to where you really are saying, Lord, be it done unto me according to your will. Not my will, your will be done, because I want your word fulfilled in my life, not my own desires. Because when faith really gets a hold of Christ and abides in Him, it rises higher than anything else and really breathes into prayer such depth and quietness and confident assurance that you really can know that your prayers and petitions will be answered accordingly by the Father who loves you. Because as you abide in Christ, you come to a place of truly receiving answers to your prayer. Some believers pray very earnestly for blessings, but when God comes and looks to them to bless them, they're not to be found because they're not abiding in Christ. Outside of Christ, the answer would be dangerous and it would be consumed upon your lust. That's what James in chapter 4, verse 3 was talking about when he says, you asked amiss, you asked incorrectly, you're not abiding in Christ, you're not really experiencing this. And that's really where the richest answers come in our life, is when we're truly abiding in Christ, because it's in the fullness of Jesus Christ, and abiding in Him is the condition to the answers and the very power of our prayer, that we really find that in prayer, everything that we need is treasured and bestowed upon us individually. So, believer, I ask you to abide in Christ. Come to the school of prayer, that mighty, effective, answer-bringing school that teaches you how to pray correctly, and really get into the secret of how, if you truly have faith and live the life of faith, a life that abides in Jesus Christ, your prayers can be heard and answered according to God's will. And this is really what we need in this day and age. And that's why, once again, just to plug it one more time, I have the Patreon program where if you click on the link, support us with a $5 amount, you'll get these other lessons. I have 8 of them currently up. Hopefully by the end of this week, I'll have a few more up. And hopefully by the end of the month, a few more up. Because I really want to get in the next month or two to really get the full depth of about 60 lessons together, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. We'll see how this works by then, if I can get all of them up or the majority of them, and really be able to help you get deeper into prayer and into your relationship with God. And if you do that, go click on that link. That's patreon.podbeam.com/dtest. Give us $5 and hopefully we'll be able to change the world together as a covenant partner with this. Other than that, I just hope you have a great and wonderful day, and sorry this broadcast went a little bit longer than normal, but still, hopefully this was really good stuff. So you have a good day, and I hope it's a very blessed one for you as well.